Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a twist for you today. You've heard me talk on the program about financial planning, retirement planning, and the importance of people to do that, of course, and also for couples to do it together. And you've heard me also say about how I really insist on that and push for people to both participate and give a lot of examples and stories. Well, we came across a very interesting article in Investment News, and that is a leading information source for financial advisors, but has a lot of stuff that's applicable and relevant for everyday people and investors. And so we ran across this article, Husbands Stifle Wife Advisor Relationships, and they got my attention, and we got in touch with the writer, the reporter Liz Skinner, who is on the line with me. Liz, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David, very much for having me on.
It is my pleasure. So tell us, before we get into the subject at hand, tell us a little bit about your background and what you do, and then, of course, about Investment News, because I think for a lot of people that are in the, everyday investors or regular people may not be as familiar with Investment News as I am.
Well, certainly. Investment News is a publication that is produced by Crane Communications, and we go out to financial advisors. And in the publication, we try to provide them certainly with some information about investments and things that they can consider for their clients, as well as we write, and I specifically write many articles for advisors on how to improve their practice and different ways that they can go about running a better business. So for me, I cover a lot of small business topics.
I like that. Well, you're going to be on my radar screen now, Liz.
Very good. Because
that's me. We are what you would call a small business financial planning practice. We're not one of the megaliths or giant firms, but we try to help as many people as we can. And I'm very tuned in, very, very tuned into your topic that caught my attention, the relationship, this triangular relationship, if you will, between husbands, wives, or let's put it more generically, spouses and the advisor and the relationship. You've got a couple different relationships going on. And so let's talk about it, because I love that you've really gone in and researched this and looked at the statistics and can help us understand what's going on. So in a typical, let me back up, in a traditional, once upon a time, isn't it true that it was the husband in the relationship that dealt more with the advisor, in terms of investments and the planning for their future?
In fact, it was almost always the husbands who had a relationship with the advisor, and often much of the finance talk was done on the golf course.
Okay.
And in different places where the wife wasn't even invited to come in.
Some of those back room, smoke-filled back rooms, right?
Exactly.
Well, so, and this is obviously something that is changing, has changed, and is changing pretty quickly.
It is changing, although some new research that Fidelity Investments did towards the end of last year, and in fact was what sparked my story, shows that it's almost 60%, 58% of couples, men are still the primary contact with the financial advisor. So that in about 42% of couples, they're both jointly interacting with the advisor. But still, in the majority of couples, the men are still the primary contact with an advisor.
And was there any, with the research, was there anything that indicated, once they were working, a couple's working with an advisor, the different roles they played in terms of, how involved they were, attending meetings or, participating in the decision-making, anything about any of that?
Well, the women who were part of the couples where the men are the primary contact, Some of the things that they reported back was that about half of them basically had turned over the finances to their husband because they trusted their partner. And another group, about a third of the women who basically had ceded control to their husbands, they said that it was because their partner had this personal relationship with the advisor. And I think, therefore, they felt like it wasn't really their place to jump in and be involved in that, that it was just something that, you know, the husband kind of had under control and was something that he kind of specialized in because of that relationship.
So it wasn't, I imagine there's a lot of different scenarios, but it wasn't necessarily that the husband said, I don't want you involved. It's just the wife maybe said, well, he seems to be focused on, he's got the relationship, he's all over it, and I feel like I'm kind of, you know, a third wheel here. He's got it. I'm going to focus on something else. I'm not going to worry about it.
Exactly. Okay. It wasn't this type of intentional effort by husbands to keep their wives out, but just by virtue of the fact that they had this relationship already and maybe had taken on, you know, primary contact, that that wives just were saying, you know, I don't need to be a part of this. My husband, who I trust, is taking this on.
That's interesting that's part of what the Fidelity research that you're reporting on found, is that it wasn't deliberate, because there was a time, you know, where it was much more, no, you're not going to do that, I do that, and it was, I don't know if I have the right word, it was almost more dictatorial.
Well, certainly, and I think part of that, I think, came getting a kind of a cue from advisors, because advisors themselves, I think, often ignored the wife, even if both partners were in the room. The old-time traditional advisor would pretty much direct all his comments to the man, which certainly didn't do anything to encourage the woman to participate.
Yeah, okay. So that was much more the case, and at least what we're hearing from this research is that there are this trend, and of course, the reason I wanted our listeners to be able to hear you and I talk about this, Liz, is, you know, this is something that obviously is so important for women, but also for men, because I've seen it flip-flop the other way, but it is still predominantly where it's the woman that either wants to be more involved or needs to be encouraged to be more involved, because there's some real risks here of not being involved.
Well, certainly. And one other thing that the Fidelity research pointed out is that men are worried about what's going to happen to their spouse, and will their spouse be able to kind of assume responsibility for the finances if that partner were to die. It was almost half of the men were worried that their wife was not able, or lacked confidence in their spouse's ability to assume responsibility for finances during retirement if they were not there too. So in fact, men are worried about this, but at the same time, not necessarily doing anything to make sure that the wives are in on all the financial decisions and actually have a relationship with the financial advisor who could step in and be very helpful if the husband were to die.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Liz, because it doesn't sound like that concern is about capability or competency or intelligence. It's about their not being involved and not knowing and not having that relationship. But at the same time, maybe they aren't, you know, sometimes in some situations are not doing enough to encourage that.
Well, certainly. And one thing in talking to, you know, advisors all day, I find that increasingly advisors do what it sounds like you do, and that is to require both the husband and the wife, if your clients are a couple, to come in when any kinds of discussions are going on and financial decisions are being made, so that both spouses are part of that decision and the planning.
Yeah, I'm pleased to report a little bit of anecdotal data for you, but I'm pleased to report you're talking about maybe, you know, these statistics that Fidelity found 55, 58, 60% of couples, that the primary and maybe the woman's not as involved. Mine are probably in the 90% range, where it is, when I say 90%, 90% of both members of the couple participating. Because we do require it. We're over 90%. I only can think of literally a count on one hand, maybe two hands at the most, of relationships I have with clients where both are not involved consistently.
Well, that's actually good news for you, because the statistics are out there that show that, you know, in many relationships with an advisor, once the husband dies, the wife doesn't always choose to remain and choose to keep their assets with that advisor. So
well,
if you've been able to create a relationship with both spouses, that's definitely the way to go about, you know, continuing that relationship and holding on to those assets.
Sure, and from a business standpoint, that makes sense. And that's a nice, very good byproduct from my perspective, Liz. You know, and my focus, of course, is on I want both people of that couple relationship to be involved, because I can't plan for the survivorship if I don't have participation from the survivor or the person who's likely to be the survivor. And I'll give you one more before I go to a break, and that is that in 16 years, I've only had one survivor, a widow, leave. All the other, either widower or widow, stayed with our firm.
That's a great statistic.
So I'm very proud of that. Not because of, I mean, yes, because we like to continue to do business with people, but that we have been able to help them during that very uncomfortable, very stressful transition period, and not throw the additional burden of finding a relationship or building a relationship with an advisor at the most difficult and challenging time in their life.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm sold, Liz. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Liz Skinner's on the line with us. She is a reporter from Investment News, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back. Liz Skinner's on the line with me. She is a reporter from Investment News. And Liz, I want to mention to our listeners, because a lot of them are, you know, there are certainly advisors that listen to this program, but also a lot of everyday people, investors. And I want to mention to them, you know, that the Investment News is not just for advisors. You know, there's a lot of great stuff in your publication that we actually refer to on this program on a regular basis. And the website, investmentnews.com?
Exactly.
Okay,
and
good.
We do have a lot of stories about investments and different classes of investments that can offer, you know, even retail investors a lot of education about what some of these products are and things to look for, even in fund managers and things like that.
That's good. And I also will add to your, which I get to do conveniently for you, Liz, here is I read a lot of publications. I review them and I look at them and I go to different ones for good information. And what I'm pleased to report back to you as Investment News is one of the most unbiased publications I've seen, because some, and I won't name names, but some of them are biased, that are, they seem to be heavily affected by their advertisers.
Well, that's good to hear. That is something
that you're not in that group
on at Investment News.
Yeah, you're focusing on the Investment News. What a concept. So we'll probably have to have you back, Liz, because there's a lot of other articles I know that you've written. But the one we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, is Husband Stifle Wife Advisor Relationship, A Good Attention Getter. And we're talking about the importance of both members of the relationship being involved. Now, let's get to some ideas here that we can talk through, Liz, that I wanted to ask you about getting couples involved together. There, you know, let's say that the husband, he's wanting the wife to get more involved. Let's start with him, and then we'll go to her. What are some of the things that perhaps a husband can do to encourage the wife, or to maybe make it a priority for her to get involved, or maybe for her not to assume that he's got it handled? What are some things that you think maybe that can be done?
Well, I think having kind of open discussions between the two spouses and also with the advisor about the importance of the planning and the importance of talking about how you're going to fund college and knowing a little bit more of the nitty-gritty about how these transactions are going to take place. What those kinds of conversations can do is they can make both the husband and the wife feel a little bit more secure about the future. And, you know, the more you can talk about specifics of how the future will be differently depending on how well and how successful the planning is done, I think you can interest, you know, wives or, in, you know, other cases, the husband, in really getting into the nitty-gritty and understanding what's going on.
Yeah, and maybe, I agree with that, and maybe painting a picture of, here's what it would be like if I'm not here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually did that one time for a couple that I could tell that they really needed, I could tell, they needed that kind of conversation. And so, literally, I pushed the husband's chair and had him basically sitting back from the table, a very physical or visible representation. And it really made a big difference to get them talking and thinking, just so they know, they understand the backup plan.
Well, and it is a difficult conversation to have to say, you know, what if one of you weren't here?
Yeah.
But it is a reality that, you know, certainly that happens. And people who have had the conversation certainly do feel more secure and they are less worried. The Fidelity Investment Study that we had talked about before the break, I mean, it's not just men who are worried about their spouse's ability, but in fact, 45% of the women said that they were, in fact, unsure of their own ability to take over full financial responsibility. So, you know, it's both parties are worried about the fact that, you know, the wives are not taking as engaged an effort at the financial planning.
You know, Liz, you're spot on. In two of the last, I'm prepared for our conversation today, in two of the last meetings I've had with prospective clients coming in asking about our services and wanting to talk with me, two of the four, the woman said, I want to be more involved. I feel like I don't know what's going on.
Well, and that's great that, A, she felt like she could vocalize that, you know, and made that clear to both yourself as well as to her own husband, who may not have realized that that wasn't already happening. You know, as we said, this isn't something that, you know, husbands are necessarily, you know, pushing their wives away. It's more that they, you know, maybe enjoy the relationship with the advisor and just aren't recognizing the impact that it can have to have the wife not be a full partner in the financial planning.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, Liz Skinner's on our line. She is a reporter with Investment News, a great publication. Good objective stuff in that publication, good resource. Quick break, we'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Liz Skinner's on the line with me. She is with Investment News. She's a reporter, and she wrote a great article that got my attention, and something I'm a big proponent of is husbands and wives being very involved with the finances together. You know, Liz, another thing that I wanted to speak to was with these relationships and people being involved, we've got to consider, and this, of course, where, you know, a couple needs to have this conversation, and they already know a lot of this, and that's about longevity and life expectancy, history of life expectancy, and, you know, how all that adds up. You know, you might have a husband that comes from a family of long livers, so to speak, and whereas maybe the wife doesn't, and maybe he's older, she's older. You know, there could be a lot of different scenarios, but often, you know, there's kind of a pattern where the typical wife will live maybe, you know, on average, it averages 3 or 4 years longer than the husband. So that plays into this in a significant way in terms of expectations of her being on her own at some point.
Well, certainly. And I think that there are a lot of women out there who have that overall fear that their husbands will die first, and they don't really know what the finances of the family are. So they, you know, there's great talk of, you know, being kind of a well-dressed bag lady. because they don't really know what the family has, and you know, they have their own, you know, they have their house and the things in it, and they don't really know beyond that what the future would hold for them.
There's been studies done that actually say that for a lot of women, even women that most people would consider well-to-do and financially secure, that they still have a real fear of becoming destitute. You know, one of the things that I say to kind of get the wife or the husband's attention, depending on what, you know, what needs to, who needs that, the 2x4, is I will say to the husband, you know, you are, especially if he's older and, you know, the history of family longevity supports us, I say, you are, sir, a temporary custodian, because this is really her money. You just happen to be involved now, but at some point the car is going to stop and you're going to get out, and the car is going to keep going down the road.
Well, and I think just because of, as you mentioned, the longevity factors, that statistically women are more likely to outlive their husbands. And that fear of becoming destitute comes from watching it happen. You know, and they may have relatives whose husband died 30 years before.
Mm.
And these women are living alone and sometimes not all that well.
Excellent, Liz. And it's not, yeah, it's not an unfounded fear. I don't want people to get the wrong impression about our conversation. It's a real fear, but it's also it's based on fact. I have a client that I have been working with, Liz, that her husband died not long ago, and we are really taking a hard look. That she was already involved with the planning and the financial picture, but she's leaning more heavily on us now because of his passing first, and we are having to do some very careful planning because of the limitation of her assets and how long the money's going to last. So it's not an unfounded thing.
Well, certainly, and it, you know, is the kind of thing where the lack of education and knowledge about what's going on in one's financial life only plays into making it worse. And, you know, if you have had circumstances where you have seen this, you may be a great saver and you may be doing what needs to be done. But if you're not understanding where the assets are and what kinds of, you know, maybe insurance policies are in place, then you aren't going to be able to get that, you know, level of security.
Yeah, and it's not, Liz, it's not that we're telling the husbands who are listening to this program that she doesn't trust you. that's a separate issue, okay? What we're talking about is a need to know about what's going on so that there's preparation. So this is something I think for a lot of people, they need to be aware, they need to be thinking about it, they need to be having conversations, and, you know, if it's a touchy subject, then use a conversation with an advisor as a kind of a, for lack of a better word, maybe kind of an assistance process for getting that conversation going.
Well, certainly. And something we talked about before is the importance of making sure that you're working with an advisor who thinks it's important that both of you are on board with financial planning decisions. Well, neither spouse should be the focus of these decisions. They should be made together. And they should include discussions of different options.
That's excellent, Liz, because especially if somebody's interviewing advisors, for, you know, they've decided, okay, it's time we get an advisor, it's time we get a planner, or we're thinking about getting a new one, we've moved, or we're not happy with the one we got. It's if they have a meeting with that advisor and that advisor only looks at them or their spouse, they got a problem. It's not going to work.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the most important things, that both parties are part of the discussions, as well as I always tell people to really pay attention to the feeling you get from the advisor. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are financial decisions, and they require certainly a level of skill that most advisors bring to the table. But this is the relationship, and you have to make sure that both parties are comfortable in that relationship and that, you know, everyone is going to be honest and open. And if one of the spouses doesn't feel comfortable being honest and open in front of the advisor, then the planning isn't really going to be what it could be.
Well said, Liz. Liz Skinner is our guest. We are out of time. Investment news reporter, Liz, I know you got lots more to talk about, lots more articles. We'll definitely have to get you back on a future show.
That sounds great, David.
All right. Thanks for being with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.